This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 35, where I talk with Ivy Parks about her poem, Glistening Sea Glass Hearts. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Ivy Parks from Young Writers Project, and the poem I chose to read is Glistening Sea Glass Hearts. Cheeks slick with tears and hurt, my hands shake as I try to reach for the stars you once wanted so badly to be ours. My smile, once sticky with blue cotton candy happiness, is now littered with shards of broken love and promises. I exhale, my peppermint breath glowing against the toxic air as my mind goes blank. I look up at the man on the moon, and as he smiles at me, my eyes only see you. Your face haunts me, your memory banging on my door every morning, but I say nothing and pray to God that you don't hear me crying. My hands tremble as I use the string the color of your honey blonde curls to stitch the pieces of my heart back together, but the glass starts to dig into my hands until I bleed. My tears taste of blue cotton candy happiness, so I cry, hoping that they will make me feel better. I sit on the beach and watch waves the color of your eyes crash into the sandy coast and try to go numb as I listen to the mournful cries of the seagulls beckoning me to the sky.
Hey, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
It was not exactly like one person, but a lot of different people and like the memories that were tied to them and like the feelings of hurt that I tried to like gather them all up and put them in one poem. I had so many different memories and I just wanted to be able to let go. So I put them in this, and I think my inspiration is more just like a bunch of like feelings that were in me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was the first line that you thought of and how did you go from there?
I think definitely it was the blue cotton candy. I have a lot of memories with like blue cotton candy lollipops, and especially with my friends and family and stuff. They just make me feel happy, and I just thought that it would be really cool if I like compared them to my feelings in a poem. I went from there talking about, I tried to compare stuff with like my feelings and think about it in that way.
I was gonna ask you about the blue cotton candy because I feel like it's such a specific image and like very strong visual kind of thing, and you know, it brings up those like really carefree feelings, like hanging out with your friends at the fair or the carnival and like having lollipops on Halloween or like something fun like that. So I like how you included that like strong visual memory. So what line feels the most memorable to you as the writer, and what line seems the most memorable as the reader?
As a writer, the most memorable line for me was, my peppermint breath glowing against the toxic air as my mind goes blank. I don't know why. I just thought that really makes me think of a lot of different things. I think as a reader, I would definitely think, my smile, once sticky with blue cotton candy happiness, is now empty, littered with shards of broken love and promises. I just think that sticks out.
Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful poem. I love so much of the like imagery and like the line that you just mentioned and the blue cotton candy and my tears taste of blue cotton candy and happiness. So I cry hoping that they will make me feel better. And this was interesting to me because I can only speak from my own experience, but I feel like we don't usually see crying as something that'll like make us feel better. It's usually something that's like, oh, that's going to like make everything worse. And that's going to make you feel like terrible about yourself. So it's interesting that you portray it as this like comforting release of emotions.
Yeah, I think I've always felt of crying as something that would help me. People are like, stop, like feeling bad for yourself or stuff like that. But I think like sometimes you can't really comfort yourself. So I think crying is just a good way to let it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think it's so cool how you have these like really strong visual things like my peppermint breath we talked about, and the man on the moon, and your memory banging on my door every morning. That one was really cool to me because it's like you can picture all these memories like huddled up against your door, like banging on and trying to get you to like notice them.
Definitely. I thought of that. It's like when you like remember certain things and it's just like in the back of your head and like you can't get it out. I was feeling a lot of different things and like I kept getting these few memories that would like keep like coming back whenever I thought of something. I just really thought that it like made sense. And like, I think it's something everyone has experienced.
Yeah, there's a lot of universality, pretty sure that's the word, in this poem, like these experiences that we can all relate to and like see ourselves in from like past experiences. So some more lines, string the color of your honey blonde curls, waves the color of your eyes crash into the sandy coast. I try to go numb as I listen to the mournful cries of the seagulls beckoning me to the sky. All the images are so unique and so interesting and a little bit like melancholy. How did you create such vivid pictures?
When I wrote this poem, I was thinking about the beach and like a lot of like blue colored things, I guess, just like a feeling. And how I usually come up with these lines is like, I'll take a memory being at the beach with someone, stuff like that. And I try to like come up with words that remind me of that. Like, as I said, my like the blue cotton candy, I used that 2 times because like I can come up with a lot of words with like happiness and also sadness with those memories. And my hands tremble as I use the string, the color of your honey blonde curls to stitch the pieces of my heart back together. I think I was definitely thinking of like sea glass and like trying to put pieces back together, but like it's obviously not going to work because you can't really put it back together after it's broken.
That's really beautiful. Yeah, the like beachy kind of waves crashing against the shore and like cloudy sky vibe, definitely picking up on that. And it's so interesting how you mentioned memory, because I feel like that is such an important part of writing, is like how our memories connect to our experiences. My voice is so hoarse. How our memories connect to our experiences. And I was reading about memory the other day. I think it was for an assignment. I can't remember what assignment, but the person who wrote this article was saying how like we can't always trust our memories because of like how our mind kind of changes them and stuff, and how we're like, I just wrote a whole final paper on unreliable narration. So that's like the biggest thing in my mind right now, but how memory like makes us our own unreliable narrators.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, I think of the blue cotton candy stuff like as happy, but like then you like that's just me trying to like make it seem happy, because like then you think of it like that happened before, and then you think like, oh, that doesn't happen anymore, and it makes it a lot sadder and like harder to cope with or like come to an understanding with, because like you realize it's not going to happen again. But like, if you just don't remember the bad parts, like I think that I agree with like unreliable. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we kind of push away the bad parts of memories, like to the back of our minds, and focus on like only the good parts. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's called, but I know there's like a psychological term for it, but that part of psychology interests me, because it's like, that really affects how we see the world and how we like think of ourselves and like our families, you know, is this one memory that we think of as like really happy, like another family member could think of as like the worst day of their life, or vice versa, you know, and like how we interpret experiences and remember that, and like that all goes into our writing. So memory is just really interesting to me. Well, some more questions. What feelings do you kind of walk away with after reading this poem? As you mentioned, like, very inspired by different feelings that you had. And do you think that this poem kind of makes you remember those in like a happy way or in a more like bittersweet kind of way?
In a weird way, it like brings back a lot of like those feelings that I had at the time that I was like having these memories, or really like when perhaps like the blue cotton candy, like that made me happy. But like then like the like more like the sadder parts of the poem, I guess, yeah, definitely bittersweet, I would say, because, like, there, it's over. Like, it's, that's a memory, not, it's not happening right now. And definitely the one line, like the last part, like, I sit on the beach and watch waves the color of your eyes crash into the sandy coast, that part, that makes me feel kind of lonely, because, like, it makes me think of, like, sitting on a beach, like, alone, just, like, looking at the waves, and it just, because, like, you're remembering stuff, you're remembering it by yourself, and without the people who were in that memory, I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those, like, lonely kind of sitting in the sand on a cloudy day vibes, and thinking about, like, things that have happened in your past and, like, how that's kind of shaped you as a person. Very cool. Yeah. Some more questions now. How did you first become interested in writing?
I live very, like, close to someone who's, like, really big on writing. It's her career and stuff. Definitely also in my family, my sister writes. So I grew up reading books and, like a lot. And my sister introduced me to the website. She said, like, hey, this is a pretty cool website. You should, like, check it out. And I really liked sitting and reading other people's poems for, like, long time. Like, I just, like, be scrolling through. And I could definitely sense what type of style I wanted to write in. And at first, I was really scared to, like, start writing, like, post anything. But I think I definitely got interested because of, like, people around me, like, the mentality towards writing in my family and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Having people around you that, like, also love writing and, like, support your writing is so important. And, I mean, you can get that, like, from siblings or parents, even, like, teachers or mentors. I mean, that, like, relationship is so vital, I guess, to, like, shaping you as a writer and, like, motivating you to keep writing and to not be like, oh, well, I did it once, that's enough. So how has poetry shaped the way that you view the world?
I definitely see things in many different ways now, because, like, when you're, like, reading other people's poems, you think of, like, stuff that they're talking about in a really different way than, like, you might be writing about it. Like, I don't know. I read, there's a writer on Young Writers called Graybean. I read their poems and I just, like, think of so many new, like, ideas and things that I would, like, have never thought to write about. And poetry, like, makes me think. And I think it's definitely changed the way I think about, like, people. I think about, like, nature, because I love reading poems that, like, compare stuff to nature, and yeah, it's definitely made me appreciate some things more.
That's really beautiful that you can, like, learn to appreciate things for their beauty. Like, once you start writing about them, you're like, oh, this is, like, really amazing. I have a quote right here next to my desk, and it says that writers see the world differently. Every voice we hear, every face we see, every hand we touch could become story fabric. And I feel like that's so true. Like, every experience that I have, I'm always like, this would be a good story, or, like, I have to write something about this.
Yeah, definitely. Even I sometimes write about, like, definitely, like, this poem is more about, like, older memories and stuff like that. I just, when I have, like, a moment, not even, maybe it's not with someone I know, even if I just, like, see someone walking and I, like, I just, like, they stand out to me, I might, like, base a poem off of, like, what I thought they're like or stuff like that. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, strangers inspiring you. That's really cool. I was at, this is interesting, sorry. I was at Goodwill last week or the week before thrifting, being really cool and aesthetic. And I was in the dressing room trying on all my different clothes, and there are these two people outside of the dressing room waiting to, like, have their turn pretty much. And they just started talking, and they had just met, but it was like they had known each other for so long. And it was, like, such an easy conversation. They're talking about, like, what they want to do in their lives and how, like, their college experiences, like, helping them go towards their goals and stuff. And it was like so beautiful to hear. And I was like, I want to write a story about this.
Yeah, it's really cool how some people can just like pick up a conversation and talk to someone like they've known someone for years. Like, yeah.
I know. I feel like I'm always like way too shy to do that. I would never like be able to have that kind of conversation with someone I just met. Okay, some more questions. What books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being? Big question.
I think some writers that have important to me in my life, like when I was in fourth or fifth grade, I was obsessed with like the Percy Jackson series. And I've definitely, like, the style of writing I thought that Rick Riordan had was, like, really, like, I could relate to the stuff that he wrote about people, like, my age, and I really loved that. For poetry and stuff like that, I actually didn't read much poetry, and I haven't read that much except for like on this site, but I definitely think that like there's a writer named Julia Alvarez that my family knows, and I used to like read her books and stuff, and I really loved them, and yeah, I definitely love that.
I know her books. I have like a bunch of them, I think. That's so cool. Well, I think it's so cool that you can like, you know, find poetry that you like on YWP and through people that you know and in different books from your childhood and stuff. I actually have a big announcement to make that could potentially change the future of Line Break. I read the first Harry Potter book. I finally did it.
Oh yeah, God.
It's taken me 17 years and a year of Line Break episodes, but I finally read it. And I'm so proud of myself.
Wow. Yeah, I love those books.
I can't believe it took me so long because I feel like I probably would have loved the series when I was in middle school or like elementary school.
I feel like people look at me and they think, like when they talk to me and stuff, I think you can kind of tell like Harry Potter has become so like popular and stuff that it's almost like a certain like group of people that gravitate towards it, and you can just tell who has read it. But like I like now that I'm talking to you and stuff, I would have definitely thought that you'd read it, and like, you know, yeah.
I know, it's so crazy, but I finished the first book and now I'm planning on hopefully reading the rest of the series over the summer because I have I have a few weeks in between my semesters, so hopefully I'll have some time. I was like, why is it taking me this long? But I have some theories. First of all, I think something's up with Dumbledore. I don't think we can trust him yet. Something's a little sketch. I mean, maybe he's going to be the best character, but at this point I'm like, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah, I feel like, especially with his, like, relationship with Harry, everyone's like, I don't know about this guy, yeah.
And that whole thing with the mirror, like,
yeah,
I don't know. And what are my other thoughts? When did you first read Harry Potter?
So, my sister, it really annoyed me that she was able to read them and I couldn't. So, I think in about first or second grade, I tried to read the first book, and I did read it, but I don't think I really understood what was going on at all, because then I read it, like, a year later, maybe, like, third or fourth grade, and it was, like, a completely different book for me, like, so many, like, conversations that I didn't remember, like, entire parts of the book that I'd completely forgotten about. So I guess I read this series like first in second grade, but then in third grade and fourth grade, I reread them and I realized a lot of things that I'd missed the first time reading.
Well, here I am in whatever grade you want to say I'm in, and I'm finally discovering Harry Potter. Who knew it would take me this long? I also kind of want to know what like house I'd be in, because I actually took the test a few years ago because all of my friends were into Harry Potter. And I was like the only one who didn't know about it. And they were like, oh, we have to know what house you're in. And I was like, what's a house? But I'm pretty sure I was like 100% Hufflepuff, but I don't know. Maybe that's changed.
So there is like what people call like the official website, like it's Pottermore or something. I've made like 8 different accounts on there just to see if I'd get the same result as like my house. And I kept getting either Slytherin or Gryffindor, which I thought was really weird because they're supposed to be like really different. So like, I don't know what that means. I'm like, I have different personalities, different days, but like, I thought it was a little bit confusing, like how people are put into different houses.
Yeah, me too. And it's not, I feel like it's kind of similar to like the personality tests or like zodiac signs and how everyone's like, oh, that's such a like Libra thing to do. That's such a Leo thing to do. It's like, well, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an Aquarius, but that doesn't mean like I'm 100% Aquarius.
Yeah.
So, but I will take the quiz and check back in when I figure out what house I'm in. Maybe I'll have something interesting. Maybe I'm in like Slytherin. That would be the biggest surprise. I don't think I could be. Well, those are my thoughts on Harry Potter. I'm sure I'm going to have so many more as I continue the series. And honestly, that was the first book that I've like finished in a while because I've been starting a lot of books, but I haven't like had the time or interest in finishing them. So it was nice to get all the way through it since it's pretty short.
Yeah, I've been, lately I've just been rereading a lot of books. Like I would like find these books in my library that I read like 3 years ago and I just am trying to reread them. But it seems like whenever I get to the part, there's this certain point in a book for me after I read it more than once. It's like, it's where it starts to get like less interesting or like bad and like the characters are actually doing like action or something like that. Where I just like stop reading it and read the beginning of a new book.
Yeah, I've been having an interesting relationship with books recently. That sounds so dramatic. I just sold 100 of them, actually 100, but wow. It barely made a dent. Like you can't even tell I got rid of any of them. And so now I was trying to search for a book last night that I wanted to reread, as one does. And I have these like waist high piles of books next to my bed. And I was like sorting through them and I was like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? It was the very bottom book. And I was like, this system is not working out. I need like a better way of finding books. And also like, I realized how many I have that I don't read anymore. So I could probably get rid of another 100 and you still wouldn't know.
Yeah, I have like from second or third grade, like 15 Nancy Drew novels that I used to be in love with and I haven't read them in so long.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I have so many, well, not so many, but I have a couple of books from like middle school, not that many from high school, but like a lot from middle school. And I'm like, am I ever going to read this again or do I just want it for the memory? And I feel like the practical side of me is like, if I'm not going to read it, I'll get rid of it. But the other side is like, no, like memories, sentimental, yeah. Keep it.
Definitely.
So, I don't know. I feel like I'll probably just end up keeping the ones that like mean the most to me.
Yeah, there are definitely some books that like have a lot more memories in them than like others that I have some that like I really hated and I still keep them because like whenever I see them, I'll be like, ew.
Yes. And also I used to have this friend and I used to give her like a bunch of my books and we'd like trade books and she never returned like 5 of them and they were really good books too. Like I never got them back.
I think I've like lent a book to someone exactly once and it took them about 2 months to give it back to me even though I knew they were done reading it after a week. So I stopped doing that.
Yeah, that's the end of that. Well, some more questions. Actually, another story that I have. I, in my literature class, this is both like bothering me and also like really cool. We're starting a poetry unit, which is actually, we're like a week or two into it. It's really cool because we get to like read poetry and then write about it. I'm like, oh, this is so fun. my professor is going into it with like a really interesting mindset. She's been saying like, I know you're all rolling your eyes at me when I say poetry, and like, we can get this together, and like, let's not ditch class. And I was like, why are you doing that? Like, why can't we just enjoy it? Why are you going into it with this like negative mindset about it?
Yeah.
That was bothering me. But I read this poem for the class, and I think it was called Letters to Verona. And it was about how all these like people, usually women, write letters to Juliet and saying like how they're in love with people, or like they want advice on like how to be in a relationship with this person. And I love the poem so much. Now I'm now kind of obsessed with this whole like Romeo and Juliet thing. I don't know why. But my question that came from this whole story is, do you think that people can write poems about emotions that they haven't really experienced, like love poems, if you've never like been quote unquote in love?
I think because like I think sometimes you don't have to experience with love. I think everyone has a different feeling of like how it should feel, like how it should be, like how like a healthy relationship should feel and how like an unhealthy relationship should feel. And I think when you write about that type of stuff, I think it's, I mean, it probably might be more powerful if you have experienced it, but when you have that understanding and you know how you want it to feel, and you know how it would, like if you know how you would feel if someone didn't respect that, I think your poetry can be really beautiful, because it can be talking about like love and how you like imagine it to be. And I think usually people think of love as a very important thing and a very like special thing. And the poems I read about it on Young Writers Project and off, like, I think they have experienced love, but I think they do a great job writing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree that like you don't have to have like strong personal experience. You can almost just like imagine what you want it to be like and kind of go from there. Although it is a lot more like powerful, you know, if you have been in that situation or that kind of experience, I guess. And I think that another factor is that if you like read a lot of love poems or anger poems or whatever, I mean, this isn't just for love, but like you read a lot of things that like address that emotion and like put it in words in like different ways, you know, like different perspectives of the emotion, if that makes sense. Like that can help you get a stronger voice about it and like have a stronger connection to what the author is saying, but then also like put it in your own words.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of my poems, when I base them off of something, like I definitely, like anger, let's say, or like love, or maybe not even love, like, I think when I start a poem, I try not just to imagine it, but like maybe I have a book that, or like a few books about like this, or I read some poems about this topic. And then like I try to like use those words and those feelings that they describe, but also like put in what I think of this subject or stuff like that. And then like I'll make my own story or stuff like that, but I'm trying to use these words that people probably more experienced are using, and just, yeah, go from there.
Yeah, exactly. Like getting, I guess, kind of a foundation of where to move from for other people. But I feel like that can be applied to like almost any kind of writing. It's like, I guess it's sort of like researching like, how has this emotion or feeling been documented, and how can I take like their words and then use them from like my perspective, I guess?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, some more questions. What poems or books do you think that everyone should read, like one that is an absolute must.
For books, there's a book that I really like called The Poet X, and it's a book in verse, so I guess it kind of counts for both. I just really love the way the author uses these words to like describe like pain and like longing, like a want for something. I really took inspiration from that book for a number of my poems. So yeah, I definitely say that is a must. I definitely have like favorites in books, but I also think that like sometimes my taste will be like very different than other people's. So I'm just like looking at my library. I guess, yeah, that was like my favorite book for a long time. There's also a book called Carry On. It's kind of like Harry Potter, but it's by Rainbow Rowell. I don't know how to say the last name, but I really loved that and how it portrayed like love and stuff like that, but also mixed it in with like some cool stuff like magic.
Oh, I love her books. I actually haven't read Carry On or the sequel. I think the sequel is called Wayward Son or Wayward something. I'm not sure, but I love her writing. I can't remember the first book of hers that I read, but I know I've read all of them besides those two. But Fangirl, I really like. Attachments, I really like. That's an adult book, but I don't know. Not like adult, but it's not YA. And also Landline is really great. I love Landline. Like the concept is so cool. And Eleanor and Park I read. That one was really interesting. But Fangirl was like really amazing.
I like wanted to read that over and over again after I read it once. Like, and it's one of those books, it's like really, it's pretty long, but like it's not, I feel like in a lot of books when they're too long, you start getting bored and you just want to like move on to another book, which is what I do with a lot of books. But that book in general, I just like wanted to keep going because it felt like it was like it was like explaining someone's life to me, but in like so much detail, and it was like great.
Yeah, and I love the way that the author like writes about it and how like she makes her characters come to life, because I feel like they feel so real and they feel like someone I just want to like have a cool conversation with at a coffee shop or something.
I think it was really interesting. So in Fangirl, how she kind of used Harry Potter and then put that into use. It's like, you know, like I think it was Catherine, the main character. I don't know. Yeah, Cather, that was her name. She's like writing fan fiction. Like I thought that was like really interesting how she uses that.
I know, it's almost so meta, like a writer writing about a writer. It's so cool though. And I was actually surprised at how similar, now that I've read Harry Potter, like how similar that is to the like story within the story of Fangirl. Because it's almost like, is this too similar? Or is this just like a cool, like kind of different version of a variation?
Yeah.
Let's see. What books would I say? Let me look at my bookshelf. I don't know. I haven't even read that much lately. It's not like I have a lot to recommend. Oh, I see The Book Thief. That one's fantastic. I love The Book Thief. Oh my gosh. Margaret Atwood, I'm really into. That's all I can see from right here. But I'm sure I'll have more later. But for poetry, that poem that I mentioned earlier, Letters to Verona, that one's really cool. Also, I've talked about this poem so many times, Titanic, or the longer version is On This, the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, we reconsider the buoyancy of the human heart. It's a very long title, but it's a beautiful poem. I love it so much. It's like my inspiration for every poem I've ever written. And also, I've been reading a lot of Neil Gaiman poems, a lot of his poetry for my literature class. And he's got a really cool kind of like fairy tale element to his writing, or at least like the ones that I've read, which is really cool. And so I read like Locks and Instructions. Those were fun. Those are like the main ones that are coming to mind right now, but I'm getting more into, I'm trying to like broaden the kind of poetry that I read and not stick to one specific like author, or I guess like genre of poetry, you know, like branch out of it and see what I can find. But I read one the other day. I cannot remember the author because they're not that well known, or at least not that well known to me yet, but it was about tea and like these different like kind of types of tea and different ways you can drink it and like be with someone else and drink tea. And it sounds like really boring, but it was a really good poem. And I really liked how they used like brands, like tea brands, like, and tied those into the poem, branching out and seeing what else, like what kind of poetry I could find.
Yeah, definitely. I think I definitely like to write about like nature. Like, I don't know, I use the word wildflowers or stuff like that a lot in my poems. I love that. Just the feeling of like memories outside. I really like that.
I'm trying to find that poem. I went down a rabbit hole and now I can't find it. So the problem about getting poems is that I don't bookmark the page and I can never find them again. So I have no idea where it is. But anyway, it was a cool poem. If I can find it, I'll put it in the description box below of this episode. I feel like such a YouTuber whenever I say like description box.
Yeah. I really love how Young Writers has like a podcast. Like the website in general is just, I love it.
That is a perfect segue into my next question. How did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
Young Writers, so my sister introduced it to me because she knew about it. I think her friends wrote on it and she wrote on it. And so that's how I was introduced to it. At first, I was a little bit like kind of on the edge of like, I didn't really know if I wanted to like share my poetry. I hadn't really written much poetry up to that point. And so I made an account. At first I would just like read people's poems and try to like come up with my own like style. And I think it's just become like a regular part of my day, like checking like the newest poems, like you know, if there's like line break I might listen to it. I like looking at the challenges. I just like I like check it every day just to like before my like remote work for school, I'll just like check it and like give myself some free time to read some poetry or maybe even write some. I think it's just become like a daily thing for me.
I'm so glad that you're enjoying YWP, that you're listening to the podcast and checking out writing and stuff. I'm so like, I feel so grateful that I can create line break and that like writers like us can enjoy it and like get stuff out of it and like inspiration and, you know, contribute to YWP in their own way. So
yeah,
really fun. Well, this has been a really fun time. Thank you so much for recording with me.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
This has been episode 35 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 36. Bye!